Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Living Astrology with host Janet Hickok, intuitive astrologer and human design consultant, and her co-host, Jason Levanis, intuitive tarot card reader and teacher, as well as feng shui consultant. At Living Astrology Radio, we are committed to empowering people to reach for the stars. Now enjoy the show. Hello, everybody. Janet Hickok here from Living Astrology. Sipping my hot cup of tea and enjoying the end of a wonderfully crazy day. And I'm sitting here, well, sort of sitting here, with my co-host Jason Levanis. Hello, Jason. Are you there?
I am sitting here from my titillating tarot. Thank you again for the opportunity. Everybody who tuned in, I had my first live radio show, and that was at the behest of Madam Janet Hickok. So thank you again
for
that.
I can't stand it. I'm the only one on the radio.
Right. How the hell are you?
I'm good. It's been
wonderful.
A rather crazy day. And guess what? I just got this very odd text that came across my phone. It says, It's from the Washington Post, and it says, Stephen Hawking says, we have 1,000 years to find a new planet to live on. Is he saying that all hope is lost on our planet?
Well,
I mean, I didn't have time to read the article, but I'm going
to
have to read that article.
After I saw the results of the last election, that was the first thought that came to my mind. All hope is lost on planet.
All is lost on planet Earth.
Yeah.
Find a new planet.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I mean, I'm sorry.
I promised I would start to become positive with you about that. So yes, I'm just rainbows and sunshine about it.
Well, you know, what's really interesting is there's been a lot of chatter about the planet Mars, and I don't think there's a scientist around right now that wouldn't say that within the next 20 years we'll have landed on that planet, and wouldn't you want to bet that the next thing we set about to do is terraforming the poor thing and turning it into a suitable planet for us to live on?
It's funny because I think there's a show on television that's coming out, or that's not a documentary but a real series, and it's called Mars.
I think you're right.
Opie. I'm so bad. What was his name from Happy Days?
Ron Howard.
Ron Howard. Yeah. I saw that. So I wanted to tell you a funny quick story. So I got in touch with one of my crunchy granola friends who listens into your show, and so you have to also please, you know, enjoy the vein to which this was said. Because I personally find you very coherent. However, I got a call from one of my stoner friends, and he was like, dude, like, I love your show with that Janet lady. And, oh, my God, last week, like, I don't know, man, like, blew my mind because, like, I didn't understand what the fuck she was talking about. And I nearly fell off my chair because my response was, Gary, try putting the bong down first before you listen to the show. Maybe you'll understand. And so I just laughed because I thought, you know, here you are getting into the cycles and getting into all this explanation, and which I found, of course, riveting and very normal and very understandable. But at the risk of pandering to a segment of the population who's sparking up and or who doesn't have quite a handle on astrology, I was wondering if you could dumb down or layman's term it for some of the people out there what you said last week about the cycles. If you could give them sort of like a Reader's Digest version of that, I think that some of the listeners would be very, very thankful.
Well, of course, I can do that. It was there was so much information last week that I wanted to get out, you know, to talk about the different cycles of planets that are affecting the
things that we're seeing in our world. For example, our election here in the United States, and, you know, it was kind of shocking to a lot of people, and so I was throwing a lot of information out there. So it makes really good sense for me to go backwards now and to kind of maybe explain the idea that I was talking about as far as cycles and the relationships of these transiting planets. So, you know, we all know that the planets from time to time, they're always moving through the sky, but from time to time they come into direct relationship with one another. For example, a conjunction where both planets are sitting at the same degree of the sky. Now, this is really easy to visualize because you can tell when we have a new moon, the moon and the sun are in a 0-degree relationship with one another, meaning they're sitting at the same degree of the sky, i.e. conjunction. Now, from that point, a week later, we look at the sun and the moon, and we can tell that they've moved apart from one another because the moon is now getting bigger. And when it comes to a 90-degree angle from where it was with the conjunction, then we reach a crisis point of sorts. And then when we get the moon and the sun in opposition to each other, we see it as a full moon, but they form a 180-degree angle with the sun on one side of the Earth and the moon on the opposite side of the Earth. Are you following me, Jason?
Okay. I'm totally with you. Go ahead.
Okay. And then after the full moon, the moon moves on, forms another 90-degree angle about 7 days after the full moon, and again we come to another crisis point. And then it goes back to the new cycle, or the new moon position, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we all the planets are dancing like this with one another. So we can always, you know, if we wanted to look at the Mars-Venus relationship, we could do that. If we wanted to look at the Earth-Venus relationship, we could do the same thing. And what we would find is that key points in the cycles of these planets or of the sun and the Earth or the moon, what we get is different energies that are available or different energies that are manifesting themselves. So what I want people to think of the planets and their relationship with each other as kind of a wave motion, right? The new being the trough of the wave, right? The new being the endings and beginnings all rolled into one. And then the full moon becoming the crest. And then, again, we come to the breaking point. So when we're dealing with the transiting planets, we have a relationship with them that we can then, by the little rule we have that says, as above, so below, we can sort of mark
mm-hmm.
what's happening here on the planet by the relationship that the planets are engaged in the sky.
Well,
I knew that this was going to be a difficult concept for people. So what I did, is before the show today, I made up a graphic. And I posted it on the Living Astrology Facebook page. And
Wonderful.
So anybody out there who wants to visualize what I've just said, go to Living Astrology on Facebook and you'll see the graphic. And at least in words, you'll be able to see sort of what I'm talking about, this relationship. And I put a little blurb there that said I'll write it out after the show. But for the moment, go take a look at that graphic and you'll get a picture of what I'm talking about. Now,
hey Janet, are you hitting your headphone at the moment or do you have a scarf on?
No. I heard all that noise.
Okay.
I thought it was you.
Okay, go ahead.
No. The only thing I'm hitting here is the hot tea. Which by the way is salted caramel.
Oh, my God.
And it's
that
yummy.
Can't be natural. That can't be natural. I have a question for you.
Cares?
This is off the cuff. Who cares about my question? No.
No.
This is going to be off the cuff, and I'm fine with it's too deep to get into right now, Jason, so we'll hit it after the show or another time. How come? Is it a numerological thing? Why is it that 90 degrees equals crisis? I mean, that's a very... I think straightforward question. When you were studying astrology back in the day, why is that? Why does the
Well, that's a great question, and it's actually not that hard to explain. In that, any time we're looking at the relationship of planets, they form different degrees of relationship with one another. The first, they can make 30-degree angles with one another, 60 degrees, 90 degrees, 120, etc. In some of those degrees, we find that the energies flow evenly and nicely. For example, a 60-degree relationship is called a sextile, and no sex is involved there. I knew that's going to be a question you asked next.
You're getting to know me too well. Yes, all right.
No kidding.
Still sounds dirty. I don't care what you say.
I know. A 120-degree angle between the planets also moves energy really nicely. But anytime we have a 90-degree angle or a conjunction, which is the 0-degree angle, or an opposition, then what you have is a relationship that brings up crisis or brings up challenges, or you could think of it as like in a conjunction. Both planets are at the same degree of the sky, and they're both fighting for supremacy. When you have them in opposition, then you've got two planets that are like playing tug of war with one another. One's pulling you in one direction, one's pulling you in another direction. And if you think of the 90-degree angle, it's really kind of the most crisis part, because you're sort of halfway between the push me pull you, and you're not quite at the conjunction where both planets have supremacy. So they're decision points. Let's call them that.
You are super duper. You know, for years, I don't mind disclosing my age. I'm 48, and I have been a student of many of the divinatory arts. And, of course, being a Capricorn and pragmatic, I've always been drawn to astrology. I have to tell you, I mean, maybe part of it is laziness, maybe part of it is that it just seemed too overwhelming, but you just finally demystified something that we hear it all the time from astrologers. It's at a 90-degree angle. It's at a hundred. And it's like, really, what the hell does that mean? You know, it all sounds like a bunch of technobabble that is meant to keep people in the dark. So that's awesome. So the long and the short of it is, if it's across from each other in opposition, they're against each other, as if they're, you know, facing off with each other in a fight. If they're on top of each other, and not in a good way, ba-dum-bum, then it's also a problem. So if it's at the 90 degrees, it's halfway between being on top of each other and halfway between being opposed to each other. So that also makes sense. So I'm so glad that you said that, because I'll bet you there are a lot of people right now going, aha, fucking finally, I understand what she's talking about. So that's awesome.
Right. So I want to back up for 1 second here.
Okay.
Wait 1 second here. Because I want everybody to understand that at all times we are under the influence of the easy types of transits and the more difficult types of transits. In our chart, it's what forms the tension for growth, for evolution.
Got it.
And so I don't want people to think that 90 degrees is bad and 180 degrees is worse or anything like that, because it's not about that. But in any new undertaking, and let's face it, anytime the planets are conjunct, it's opening us up to something new, right? So if you're going to have something new, do you really think that there's not going to be any work involved in order to make it blossom and grow, right? There's always going to be something that challenges you along the way. So here's how I want people to think of this. When you have the conjunction of a planet to another planet, you have everything that's spontaneous and instinctual in terms of action. So let's just say something, some new rhythm or some new idea occurs to you, and now I'm going to set out and I'm going to try to make this happen. So with the conjunction of planets, that's what happens. Something new enters into our consciousness. It can be an idea, it can be an action we want to take, but it enters into the consciousness at the new phase. And then, of course, at the 90-degree phase, the first 90-degree phase that the planets that we're talking about, whichever ones they are, come into a relationship with one another, it becomes the first crisis in action, right? You've decided you're going to head out in this one direction. Now the planets come to 90 degrees, and now you're in a crisis, because at this point, you have to make a decision. The decision is, am I going to let go of the past? And am I going to open up to, or am I going to hold on to that past? Am I going to open up to new ways of being, or am I going to stay stuck, right? Am I going to stay stuck, right? Then the planets will move on. And, of course, these are happening at varying timelines because different planets are closer to Earth and further from Earth. So now we get to the full or the 180-degree opposition point. Now what we have is fulfillment or a completion of sorts. Or illumination, like the aha, the light bulb comes on, and now you can see the light at the end of the tunnel. Maybe there's a revelation involved. And maybe at this point you get a renewal in your purpose. You know, the conjunction happened, you know, maybe, I don't know, if we're talking about the moon, the conjunction happened 14 days ago. And now at this point of the opposition, you get a glimpse of what could be, right, of the next step in your path forward. And at this point, then, we get a very big consciousness shift, right? At first, we had the consciousness of instinct and spontaneous action or change or something new. Now, we are going to get the idea of consciousness, creative consciousness, growth. So, now we've come to the 90-degree angle between the full and the new again. Now, we have this crisis in consciousness. Right now, do we share the meaning and value with our fellow human beings? Or do we discover that there wasn't much value in what's happened and we have to go back to the drawing board? So this particular point in time becomes a time where we have to break down and disintegrate the old, or we have to formulate a new pathway forward. That makes sense?
Yes. So now let me backtrack one more thing. So this moon...
Yes.
Is in 90 degrees to the sun or the earth?
The sun.
Got it. Okay.
Right.
That makes all the sense in the world.
But we could easily be talking about Jupiter and Saturn, which is what the show was about last week. We were talking about the fact that we are in the last quarter of the Jupiter-Saturn phase, and so we are in that breakdown, disintegration of the old in order to make way for the new. And we got a glimpse of that new.
Yes, these understandings of the 90 degree, the 180, and the conjunct scenario, it doesn't necessarily mean poo-poo caca all the time. It just means that it's going to be perhaps if I can use the word, tense scenario by where growth is usually elicited.
Correct. It challenges us. It challenges us to grow, to move beyond where we've been in the past. And in that, then, the cycles show us our path forward in evolution, the evolution of consciousness. That's the bigger picture. And, you know, the reason I wanted to bring that up again today and make this hopefully clearer for people is because we're about to embark on another very interesting opposition between two planets, Jupiter, growth and expansion, and Uranus, the planet of awakening or surprise, things that come at you that you don't expect. And those two together usually represent some form of revolution. And they're going to be in the opposition phase to one another as we get into December. And God help us, December's not that far from now. So I wanted people to understand that if we wanted to take perspective of what's happened with the election, it doesn't matter who you were for, who you're against, or anything like that, everything is appropriate as far as what we're looking at as disintegration and the breakdown of something in order to formulate and assimilate a new vision. Now, do we know specifically what that is? We could get some hints, because often these planets, when they come into these opposition points, they create revolution. We had a revolutionary war under a Jupiter-Uranus opposition. We had the French Revolution under a Jupiter-Uranus opposition. I'm not saying we're headed for another war, although you could look at what has happened, you know, with an election as what's left behind is a war-torn country. And now how do we heal? How do we move forward? And that will be seen as we start to move past this crisis point and onward into the new part of the cycle, which will be another 7 years from now. So I'm just saying, cycles, if you look into them, you see some really interesting things.
All right, so let's just to be hyper-vigilant and to be ultra-responsive as an astrologist and tarot card reader, I would like to repeat what Janet said in case you just fuzzed out, which is this does not mean we are headed for a revolution, folks. So before you run tearing into the street, screaming into the night, please go back and listen to what she said. And please also understand that a revolution doesn't necessarily have to be a bad one. It can be revolutionary thinking and a revolutionary situation that is positive.
When I like to think of this as a pendulum swinging. This is like a pendulum swinging, right? We go back and forth with the pendulum, and we're passing through all the different degrees. So we've swung to one side now, and we're going to have to come back and find where do we go from here. And that's going to require conversation. We cannot play the separation card and heal the nation or heal ourselves. So we have to come together and say, okay, wait, what is it we're really wanting? So that's a conversation for us to enter into as time goes on here. The potential is for revelation, for illumination, for absolute beauty. But right now, it's the crisis point, and we'll get through that.
Well,
this too shall pass.
If I may wax philosophical, and I hope everybody out there will just placate me a little bit. Hell, aren't I using some pretty fancy words tonight?
We call them 75-cent words.
Nice. So if everybody will just placate me for a moment. A thought came to me while you were talking, which was, I've seen some pretty challenging racial lifestyle commentary on the size of churches and demonstrations. And in a way, I know this is going to sound, I wish I could couch this in a different way. I think what it is doing is illuminating us to what has been festering underneath the surface. I think that for the last 8 years, we've had this, quote, half-black president, and isn't this wonderful, and all this other happy horseshit. And the fact of the matter is there's been an entire segment of our United States that has been seething about it. And that there's been this, for lack of a better word, and yes, I know I'm dramatic, but there has been this cancer that has been sort of growing. And I think it's interesting now that this segment of the population sees that there is a leader who, if he doesn't support these ideas, because I refuse to even give it any more power than it's worth, let's just say these people feel like this acknowledgement of a leader allows them to be more vociferous. There's another one of them 75-cent words. More vociferous about their viewpoints, their ideas, than they have been able to in the past because of the political climate that we see at this moment. And, of course, I will give my 2 cents worth, which is I find it absolutely abhorrent and disgusting. And being a New Yorker or being in the metropolitan area to see anything like this, I mean, it's just unbelievable. But these things are occurring. The upside is the scab has been pulled away now and the pus can ooze. We can see what kind of infection, we can see what kind of infection we have growing in this country and what kind of an antibiotic we need to give it, you know?
Here's what we're looking for. It's not about that. It's about inclusion. So we had a segment of the population that did not feel included in what was going on in the world or what was, in making the decisions in the destiny that they would have as a part of this country. So now, as we move toward the last quarter of this, of what was the Jupiter-Saturn cycle that we were talking about last week, then we have to figure out now how do we share meaning and value with each other? How do we bring that to the table out of the dust of what has happened? How do we bring the more meaningful things out? Because, ironically, they're still part of this country and they still believe the same things we do, right? We want to feed our children. We want to have a safe environment. We just have maybe differing ideas about how that happens. But there is this energy right now that is for us to take a look at what was wrong, what wasn't being addressed, as you said, opening up that wound, and we will move forward into how do we now share the meaning of where we want to go. So there's hope, complete hope on the horizon here.
I think you have quite admirably explained some of the lack of understanding or confusion from last week. And before we go on to the next topic, I was wondering, what are some of, since we're on the topic of cycles, what are some of the other cycles that are coming up that you, as an astrologist, want us to be aware of?
Well, the big ones, of course, right now are the Jupiter-Saturn and the Jupiter-Uranus cycle, because they're faster. We can see them moving with one another in a way that, you know, is not so obtuse, right? You know, planets that are further out there have longer cycles of time, and it may not, something that they have in common may not even happen in our lifetimes, or happen, you know, at a point in time where we're babies, and then doesn't happen again until after we pass on. So the faster cycles are the ones that are most interesting. But we do have a Saturn-Pluto cycle that, interestingly enough, in the next few years will be completing, as Saturn will join Pluto in Capricorn as we move into end of 2017, early 2018. And that one...
And what does
that
bring us?
I mean, that's a whole other radio show, Jason, but and maybe I will address
that
pretty soon. But when you've got a form and structure meeting up with the planet of transformation, taking us and dragging us through the underworld, what we have then is a throwover. I mean, if we think things are bad now, if we don't take in hand and decide quickly that we are going to be conscious about what we do next, that particular cycle may drag us through the mud, and that one won't be so pretty.
Okay, so the other question that I have for you is, you know how sometimes you'll go, well, maybe you won't because you don't get readings. You're the one who does the readings. Very often I've gone to astrologists and they'll say, oh, well, you have this and this, and ooh, and this is a difficult aspect, and this is conjunct with that. However, you have blobbity blob and goopity goop that's protecting you. So you've talked to us about some of these challenging things that are happening right now. Do we have anything going on in the stars that's like, well, it's not all for shit? We have some really benevolent, wonderful things also happening. Do we have anything happening at the moment that's a little more on the, I don't know, positive side, ?
I think we've entered into a very revolutionary time. I don't want to say that there isn't anything positive out there, but I think we're at the transformative end of the cycle where we're ready to rebirth something or birth something new. And so, of course, a lot of the things, the energies that we see building are on that down and dirty side. But, of course, with every down and dirty side, there's always that light. What happens when we get past this is because we're choosing at every moment what we're doing here. It's not that we're at the end of the spectrum that says we don't have any choice about what goes on, that these planets are dictating the action and, you know, so why do I even try? It's not that at all. They set the stage. They set the stage for the kinds of energies that are here, but we ultimately decide how we move forward with that. So in that respect, Jupiter and Uranus in opposition, which sounds like it's revolutionary, also brings us wonderful advances in technology. Also brings us breakthroughs of magnanimous we could look at it in social media and the breakthrough that has created. We could look at the scientific revolution. If we look just at medicine alone, some of the things that the Jupiter-Uranus cycle can bring us, we may not even know yet, right? Because that's a revolution that's also happening. So revolution at all levels. Rebellion at all levels, right? It's not just in the fact that we together can't seem to get along, but there are wonderful things that are happening. The whole idea, you know, of Stephen Hawking and this deal with, you know, we'll be on another planet, living on another planet in 1,000 years, is exciting. I mean, the thought that we could actually fly from Earth to Mars and do something on that planet that might, you know, establish a colony or on the moon, that's sci-fi stuff that, you know, in the time that you and I were born was just birthing. And here it's coming into some form of usefulness. And so all the cycles, even though there's a negative aspect, also have positive aspects, because out of the crisis, potential is born, right? The potential for evolution and moving forward. So does that help?
Okay. Yeah, that absolutely does help. Today's show is called Astrological Musings. And
correct.
When I saw the title, I, you know, of course, thought, Oh, she's talking about me being her muse. Just kidding. And so you aptly decided to call it the Astrological Musings because of, I guess, the sun, the moon, and the earth, insofar as an astrological profile is concerned. So I wanted to get to that because what?
Nope, that's not exactly what happened. Here's what happened. I woke up in the middle of the night a couple of nights ago, and I still hadn't put up what this radio show today was going to be about, but I was lying in bed, and all of these things were coming into my mind about the relationship between the sun, the earth, and the moon. And I was musing about, and who does this at 3 in the morning? Obviously,
you do.
I do. And I'm laying there, and I'm thinking about how most of the times in astrology, earth is left out. Right. In human design, I talk about Earth for everybody. But when I'm talking to someone about their traditional astrology, I'm rarely talking about Earth. In fact, I don't even remember a conversation where I said to somebody, dude, your Earth is in Cancer, except you and I had that conversation the other day.
Like I may have been some inspiration, but tell me a little
bit
more.
It was just you. In the middle of the night, I'm thinking about your particular chart, my husband's chart. And I'm like, okay, where's the sun, the moon, and the earth if I look at everybody's chart? And what I started thinking about, musing about, is that if I look at the sun, the earth, and the moon, what I get is a real picture of someone's life purpose. And for all of you out there who don't know what I'm talking about in terms of what the earth sign is, it is the exact opposite of your sun sign. So if you are Gemini, a sun, then your earth is Sagittarius. And if you are a Capricorn sun, your earth is in Cancer.
Is Cancer.
The exact opposite sign. So here I talk all the time about signs and being energies across an axis. It hadn't occurred to me yet that the sun and the earth are actually an axis. They form the opposition, right? Your feet are firmly planted here on the earth. So if your feet are planted on the earth and you're a Capricorn, then how is Cancer being expressed through you? So that's what got me thinking about life purpose. So play with me with this for a minute, if you don't mind me using you as an example. And when we get to our readings today, I'm going to look at these same things with people. So Jason is a Capricorn. Capricorns are very dutiful, loyal. They're very businesslike. Their reputation is important. They're analytical. They're very basically down-to-earth, practical people. Exactly.
Yes.
But that's your sun sign. So what that tells me is that's your outer. That's like the coat you're wearing, right? The outerwear.
Right.
And
right.
So if you're a Capricorn and your outerwear is all of this, you know, business as usual, there's a ruthlessness to Capricorn energy at times even. But your feet are here on earth as a Cancer, and I see traits in you that are definitely not so Capricornian. And so when I look at that and I say, okay, Cancer is where your feet are planted. Cancer is emotional. It's nurturing. It's loving and kind. It's mothering energy. And it is related more to how we build stability and a foundation for ourselves here on the planet. And then because I also knew your moon sign, if I looked at your moon in Gemini, so what I see then is that you here are, part of your life purpose is about being able to, in practical terms, convey nurturing and emotional energy through how you communicate with people, how you talk with others, how you coach them, or how you have psychic readings with them or tarot readings with them.
So when I
look at that, It formed for me an instant, oh my God, this is Jason's life purpose right here to be able to nurture people through the energies of their emotional selves or of the things that are happening in their lives. So,
well, one of the things go ahead.
Go ahead.
One of the things that I think is interesting is that when I look at it in with that lens on, and then I take that lens off and I go back to my old standard understanding that, you know, who we are inside is sort of the inner part is Jason is the Capricorn. But on the outside, his rising sign being Pisces is, again, very descriptive in the way that you discussed or reminiscent in the way that you discussed Cancer. And so I wonder, like, for instance, for you, your moon sign is what?
My moon sign is Virgo.
Okay, and what is your rising sign?
Cancer.
So do you find that there is a correlation between those two? Because you said to me both Pisces and Cancer were water signs. So
correct. So in your case, yes, they were water. They were bringing you that emotion, and they were which is, you know, what you always wondered about yourself. Why am I so emotional, but I'm this Capricorn, right? All business. And in my case, though, it's a little bit of a different story. You know, my sun is in Gemini. My earth is in Sagittarius. My moon in Virgo. So I have a lot of information that I'm sharing with people. But I'll tell you how my rising sign plays in here. And it's that everybody to me is family. If you come into my life, you are my family. And I've always been this way. So if you're a friend
Taurus?
And you drop
my house.
What
is your rising?
Cancer.
What is your rising? Cancer. There you go. Okay.
Cancer.
Yeah.
So when I do a reading with somebody, you've become my brother, my sister, my child, my family member. So I am going to devote to you as much of my time, as much as my effort, as I would as if you were a family member, because I don't notice the difference. I don't see other. Yeah, so it's an
interesting
viewpoint.
Interesting.
Right.
Yes.
So,
listen, Janet, I hate to be that pain in the ass producer, but I have a queue full of people, and we only have 20 minutes left. So unless you have something exciting, I'm going to bring in for you Andy. How does that work for you? Okay.
Perfect.
All right.
Bring
awesome.
In
Hold
Andy.
On just one moment. Hi, Andy. Thank you for waiting. You're on live with Janet.
Hello, hi, there. Janet. Hi, Jason. How are you?
I am fine.
I'm
it's good to hear your voice.
What a wonderful discussion. I've learned a ton.
Isn't it good when
I'm
we
so
can
glad.
Really, like, yeah, yeah.
You know, one of the hard things about radio is that you guys can't see what I'm doing. You can't see my hands and how I'm gesturing.
Honey,
you can't really
honey,
see
you don't
the want pictures,
to see what I'm doing.
No, I don't.
Sorry.
Thank you for warning us. So, you know, it's hard sometimes, so I have to paint a picture with words that I don't always understand don't always know if the other person understands. So thank you for, you know, telling us that this was really interesting and valid for you.
Absolutely.
So tell me, did you reach out today because you had a specific question or want to know something in specific, or can I take you through the moon, sun, earth thing?
Go for it. You know, the only thing I will just say to preface it is I've always wanted to have the kind of job, career that I'm just so excited, you know, to get up in the morning and go do. And I'm feeling that that's closer and closer to be able to actually do something that I love and work with other people who are passionate about what they do. And I'm just really hoping that that's on the other side of this, of finishing this long schooling experience.
Oh, I'm sure it is. As you know, right now for you, the planet Uranus, the one, you know, the awakener, the you know, surprise, here I am. He is running through your 10th house of career and profession, or, you know, we could look at it as how you express your authority out in the world. And opposing, of course, Uranus and moving ever quickly to exactly opposing him is Jupiter, which is in Libra, in your fourth house of what forms your foundation. And so what I see happening here is essentially what I've been saying for months now is that Jupiter and Uranus in a Uranus and Eris in a conjunction in Aries has been creating an opening for us to become free, to untie or unoppress us ourselves or unrepress ourselves from anything that we've been stuck in. Now, with Jupiter opposing Uranus in this, now the opportunity comes for growth and expansion through the very mechanism of untying ourselves from anything that's been oppressing us. Now, sometimes that comes about in surprising ways. Like, I'll just share with listeners, you know, for me, I was surprised by the fact that my landlord has decided that she wants us to move, right? That she wants to move her daughter into this house. And anybody who's listened to me talk, I love where I live. And I mean, I was heartbroken and totally stressed until I started thinking about how this opens me up to actually doing something like buying a house. So even though it came as a surprise and it was a shock, it literally liberates me in some way. And so in this case for you, Andy, the liberation is coming through your career choices, through your being able to claim your authority out there in the world in whatever way it is that you want to do it. Now, I wonder, are you in business for yourself?
No, not at this time. I'm finishing, hopefully in a year, a PhD. So I have done consulting work in the past, years ago, on the side, and I really enjoyed it. So I just don't have a clue where I will end up work-wise. I think it'll be good wherever it is. I just don't know yet.
I'm sure it is. You know why?
Can I ask something real quick?
Sure.
Can I ask you something, Andy? I just got the slash of you in a nurse's uniform. Have you done... Why are you laughing?
Yes. I'm laughing because, yes, that is my my degree. My PhD will be in nursing. Spot on.
Okay.
Nice.
All right. Very strange.
Very
okay.
Nice.
Gotcha.
Did you
go ahead.
Did you pull a card
sorry.
For her?
No, not yet. I was just listening to you talk, but as she was talking, I got a past life vision, and I thought, well, let me just ask her real quick before she goes on. So we'll get to that in a second. Finish, Janet. Go ahead. Sorry for interrupting.
No worries. Good. So I also wanted to tell you that your destiny, the transiting north node, is destiny. And it is transiting past your natal placement of Mars and Uranus. And so it feels like to me like, yes, you've probably felt or heard that cosmic click, that things are, you know, clicking into place. And so in a way, a lot is opening up for you. And as time goes on, it'll be more and more revealed to you. If I look at your sun-moon-earth relationship, your sun is in Aries. So you're wearing the coat, you know, to use my little analogy, you're wearing the coat of independence, of self-sufficiency, of boldness, of being unique in an entrepreneurial way. And then that means your earth is on, or your feet in, on earth are in Libra. And, of course, Libra is being hit with the energy of Jupiter transiting through it. So it's like, okay, who can I build a relationship with that moves me further in my life? Because that's how it works for you. You're self-sufficient, you're independent, but your feet are on the ground in the place that requires partnershiping, to allowing other people in, to being able to see that together you and someone can collaborate and cooperate and co-create something more than just what you could alone. And then your moon, your inner world, is at 0 degrees of Capricorn. There you have it. So there's a lot of business sense that you have. You have a lot to bring to the table in terms of being able to organize, plan, orchestrate, and analyze and bring into form that which you can conceive of as the Aries sun and that which you can partner with or co-create with someone else. Does that help?
Yeah, I think that's spot on. With the Jupiter and Libra, because Libra's in my fourth house, I really enjoy being able to work out of my home or have that as my base.
There you go.
So, yeah, I was thinking just, wow. Very cool.
Well, I pulled three cards for you because as soon as you were talking, I got this vision. And I have to tell you, this past lifetime vision that I got was I saw you wearing a strange kind of, and I don't know because I've never seen it before, some kind of a strange nursing hat that looked almost as if you were in a convent or some kind of a nunnery kind of a thing. But you were some kind of a branch of a nun that was a nurse. And you brought that energy with you into this lifetime. So is the Seven of Wands. Which, with respect to this conversation or this information, it's talking about, it's the card of courage, and that you have been incredibly courageous in your life, especially as a woman, doing what you have done, fighting against obstacles, and that's in your past. Right now, you have the Two of Swords, which shows it's the card of peace. You are finally wrapping your brain around who it is that you are and what you're going to become for the second part of your life. which is wonderful because there's sort of a relaxation to it. You're going to be coming to very much to relaxation of it, of like, oh, yeah, this feels right. The last card for the immediate future. I mean, Andy, I wish everybody's cards was this fucking good. Basically, sometimes you see cards and you're like, oh, how do I break the news to them that, you know, the latter part of their life is going to be difficult. I have to tell you, this is not you. The Four of Cups is a card that shows up. In the background is a luminous spirit. It's usually thought of as the spirit of Jesus or Buddha or Jehovah. It's an ascended master, and it means that the situation has been handpicked by you and by God, if I can use a dirty word, for the future. This is the exact thing you are supposed to be doing. It's been handpicked. You're on the absolute correct path. So all I can tell you is you should be extremely excited about who you're becoming. And the hard stuff is behind you. The hard stuff is behind you. So I want you to know that
I'm guessing the hard stuff was the PhD, the studying for the PhD and the testing and all of that. That could be the hard stuff.
Yes. And I have to tell you, for all the souls that I felt that you saved, I want you to feel thanked. I want you to feel loved, because what you did and what you put forth into this energy in that lifetime and in this is very much needed and is very much appreciated. So I hope that you know you are very much loved by the energies around you.
Oh, thank you so much for that. That's very gratifying. Absolutely. Thank you.
There you go.
You know, it's what
we
want to know.
It.
Absolutely.
You know, as my mom would say, that and 25 cents doesn't get you a seat on the subway. But, so Andy, unless you have something else, I'm going to put you back in the queue so that we can
take our next caller.
You're good?
Absolutely. Thank you both so much. Thank you.
Wonderful.
You're most welcome, Andy.
Janet,
thanks for calling in today.
Janet, yes. I have James on the line next.
All right. Hey, James. How are you?
Hi, James. You're live with Janet.
Hi. How are y'all?
Good. How are you?
Good.
I am loving this show. I love the two of you together. I really do.
Thank you. First, we love you too. We love everybody. I do anyway. I don't know about Jason. But
I'm a little younger, so perhaps I have some growing to do.
Perhaps. You haven't hit your Chiron return yet. That's it.
No.
So, James, how's life with you, and what can we help you with tonight?
Life is so good. You know, I'm so interested in what you just shared about the sun, the moon, and the earth connection. And that is so freaking, you know, that's something I was completely unaware of, especially in regards to the earth, because we don't talk about the earth in astrology a lot. I'm curious about it.
You know, what's funny, it blows me away that it took me, I mean, how many years have I been doing astrology, and I've just sort of glossed over the fact that we're sitting on the earth. And so why isn't the earth factored in? I mean, it is a planet, and it is the place that we actually live. It's where your life, where your sun and moon energy are going to play out. So we have to take it into consideration. I haven't talked to other astrologers about this point, but I'm sure in some way they're incorporating it into their readings with people. But, I really wanted to make this conscious. And so I'm sitting here looking at your chart, James. So you're an Aries, as our previous caller, Andy, was. And so, again, you're wearing that coat of, independence and self-sufficiency and that entrepreneurial spirit and boldly going, perhaps where other people haven't gone before, or treading new territory. You know, that's your ego structure or your outer world self. Your inner world self, though, as evidenced through the moon, is in Cancer. So you have that very nurturing spirit here, the piece of you that is kind of the softy. Right, the part of you that even though Aries is ruled by Mars and can come off sometimes as warrior energy, the warrior energy that you're carrying is couched with love, is couched in caring and that loving energy of how we take care of one another. So in that, you could be a warrior for love, you could be, you know, of course, that whole Aries Libra axis is considered the love and war axis. So I guess what you've done in your life perhaps has made a choice about, am I a warrior for love or am I going to be a warrior in the case of, you know, destructive energies? Am I going to be a conscious rebuilder or a bringer together of people? What is that called? A collaborator? Or am I going to tear things apart? So I think really in this, what we see for you is your life purpose being all about building something, relationships, or building a model where everything is about nurturing and caring and moving in a loving direction, let's call it. Does that make sense?
That, oh, wow. Wow, wow, wow. Yes.
So we'll call you the warrior
yes.
for love. And then I when I say love here, by the way, I'm not really talking about, you know, physical love so much as I am that energy of love. And that's bigger, right? That's universal love. It's the glue, the fabric that holds the fabric of our solar system together. It's the
wait,
in the end what brings us all together. Yes,
James?
Jason.
Did you call in yesterday, James?
Yes, this piggyback is exactly what you said. Yes.
You know, this is crazy because I was behind the scenes screening calls, and I heard you going on about love and love. And I'm like, oh, that's funny. Yesterday, I spoke to somebody, had given them a reading about love, and then I realized, wait a minute. This is incredible.
It is the same thing.
Wow.
Oh, God.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
So
right?
if you didn't have affirmation once, you have it twice.
Oh,
right.
My God.
Validation.
And I needed this because I've been so burnt out. You have no idea. I've been so burnt out. And just asking the universe, what next? You know, what the heck next? What next do you want me to do? Because I just, you know, I've been exhausted. I've done quite a bit for myself. But, you know, I've been exhausted. And like, what next? What can I do that's me? And this is so spot on. It is. Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe write a manual.
The love universe. How to love the universe. Or universal love principles. I don't know. But I think that's a great idea, is to in some way rest now in a bit. Now, you have, just like Andy did, the previous caller, your Aries Libra axis is across the 10th and the 4th house with Uranus and Eris up in Aries, creating openings for you to create from a dream, right? What, you know, stopping yourself. Can I say that again? Stop holding yourself back from whatever the bigger dream is. Because, you know, for you, in your case, Uranus and Eris have moved off to the 11th house of hopes and dreams and aspirations. So what can you liberate now in terms of what is my vision? If do you have a vision for how universal love plays out in your business? Of how nurturing plays out in your business, and who can you collaborate with to bring that into play, and in a more full way. Now, I'm hoping I've done a human design chart for you before, because I'm concerned that I heard fatigue or tiredness in, and I don't see where I've done that for you before. So I thought I had.
I think you have.
Of course, I'm looking for your first name and not your last name. That might make a difference. So let me see. Gosh, no, I don't have it.
Well,
okay,
you two fine people can do that very soon, either in another show or in private.
Yeah, I need to look at your human design chart because I want to make sure. In human design, I can really see your life purpose and how your energy plays with that life purpose. So if you're, for example, a projector, you're not meant to go about it with that daily grind, right? You have to sort of sit back and wait for people to invite you into their living room, as it were. You have to do things in a completely different way than if you're a generator. And even a generator has to respond to what shows up in their outer world, not what comes up from their minds or from their inner workings. So I want to look at that for you, James. Have I ever sent you a human design chart before?
I cannot remember, but I do remember being a generator.
A generator. Okay. So if you're a generator, but still I need to look at the energy centers and see, because if you're a generator that has a will center defined, that will center has a real tendency to pulse. And it goes on and it goes off. And if you're pushing yourself through the off phase, you are flirting with burnout. And so I want to make sure that that's not part of your experience either. So go to my website.
Wow.
If you don't know where your chart is, go to my website and request your free human design chart. And because I'll recognize your name, I can tell you what I'm seeing there as to how it relates to being fatigued or tired. All right. And in the meantime, what I can say is get some rest. Enjoy some downtime.
Right. So true.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So all is well, and some really good things are happening for you. Just maybe take some time to rest, because the world needs you. Okay?
Yes.
Thank you so much. Thank
Stay
you
in
all
touch,
so
James.
Much.
James. We love when you call in. Stay in touch. Let us know how you're doing.
I sure will. Thank you, both of you. Thank you.
I'm going to put you back
You're
in the
welcome.
Queue and tell me, blue-eyed goddess, do you have energy left to do another quickie?
I have so much energy, it's not even funny. When I start
awesome.
Doing this, I get all in.
jazzed up. Okay, so get your computer out real quick. I have Nicole on the line that I'm going to bring in. And Nicole, I think you see her deets in front of you.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Nicole.
How are you
today?
I'm great. How are you guys doing?
Peachy darn
Excellent.
Dandy.
I'm just going to give both of you ladies a warning. We have about 3 minutes left for the show, so go for it.
Okay. Nicole.
Okay. Yes.
Have I done a reading for you before? And if so, tell me your last name.
My last name is Robert.
Yeah.
And no, it's my first time calling. It's my first time calling.
Nope. Oh, it is. Okay, great. So let me get your birth information put into my program really quickly, and then we can pull up a chart. But tell me, what's your question?
Yes.
My question is regarding my marriage. I was wondering, what do you see for it?
Okay, hold on here. Let me, Nicole,
don't you
can
love
you,
that?
That's a loaded question.
I'm sorry.
I'm going to ask you to tell me what your birth details are. It's too hard for me to go back and forth in the screen. So what's your birth date?
Oh, my birth date is July 23rd. I'm sorry, 7/23/1984.
84?
Yeah.
Okay. She's a baby.
Yes,
I'm a
she
Leo.
Is.
Okay.
Well, you
and
got
what
it,
time
you
are
got
you
it
born?
Up?
Oh. Nope.
I'm
what
sorry,
time are you born, Nicole?
3:30 p.m.
3:30 p.m. Okay, so that's 15:30. And where were you born?
Essex, Baltimore, Maryland, which is kind of funny. I was talking to him. We had a hard time spelling it.
No, that's Essex, E-S-S-E-X, and then Baltimore, B-A-L-T-I-M-O-R-E, Maryland. And while Janet is doing that, Janet, I just want you to know that I'll be interested to see what you pull up on your chart, because I have positive, good, wonderful things going on for this in the future. But at the moment, the Hermit card is coming up, which means solitary, solitude, looking within, reevaluating your own purpose, his purpose. The card before that in the past shows Sun, it shows the Apollo, shows a good coming together, a good embracing. But right now it seems like a slightly dark period that you're going to have to go within. But in front of you, the Lover's card comes out in the last position. But it's two men, which means that you need to strap it on. Wait, no, that's not right. You have to be more aggressive in the relationship insofar as what you want. Go ahead, Janet.
Okay.
That's my part.
Okay, great. So we're going to go overtime here. So I know that the show is going to stop. So for people trying to call in, you won't be able to call in, but we'll stay on air here, at least through Nicole. And let's see, Nicole, I just was pulling that up. So hold on, I've got to get back to my other screen. Okay, so my computer is doing the most bizarre things. You would think, gosh darn.
Can I say something real quick? Do you need his birth date?
No. Nope, I'm not going to look at him. I'm looking, especially because I don't have necessarily permission to look at his information.
Okay. Okay.
But I do want to take a look at yours, and I can tell you what's going on, at least from what I see here. Now, by birth, you have Chiron and the moon and North Node or destiny in the seventh house, which is the house of marriage and relationships. Now, here's something interesting that I find happens often with Chiron in Gemini, and that is that people with that tend to be people pleasers. And so what they do in their in the relationship is they are constantly settling for helping out the other person, doing what the other person wants, and they get forgot in the in the equation. So I want you to be very aware of this because you have a destiny in the seventh house. So relationships are meant to work for you, but it's only going to work when you get clear on what you desire for yourself. And that's even become more of a drumbeat lately because you have the Sun, Mercury, Saturn all transiting through the first house, which is the house of the self. And so the self needs to be strengthened. The self needs to be considered. You have to become more self-centered in order to make a relationship work. I hope that makes sense to you.
Yeah. I kind of have because I've gone back to school and we kind of are separated right now. He's in one state and I'm in another state. So we are kind of separated, but we are kind of working towards things. So, yeah.
Well,
we are taking a break. So
I think taking a break is a good thing. But I also want you to understand that Jupiter is in the sign of Libra, which is a sign of relationships. So a lot of what has to happen here with you and him before you get back together is to define what this relationship is all about. And that comes from communicating. That comes from talking with one another. That comes from saying, this is what I want in a relationship.
Yes.
And him being able to say, this is what I want in the relationship. And then have a meeting of the minds from there.
Right. And that's what we've been doing. We have been communicating. And speaking of Libra, he is a Libra. So there is that communication with us. I'm a Leo, he's Libra. So there is that communication.
And Leo and Libra are interesting together because Leo, of course, is the one that you're very charming and outgoing and you have a lot of energy around being the center of attention. And this is not a bad thing. So I'm not judging you or saying that that's bad because Leo is that. I mean, they like to have the whole world revolving around them. Now, if he's a Libra, they also feed into that because they do like to be able to take care of other people. They like to serve. They like to, they're kind of romantic and they like to feel appreciated for what they do inside the relationship. So maybe it's just a little bit of an easy thing that you could say, I really love when you do this. I really love it when, you know, we come together and we have these moments, you know, of romance or, you know, so try to talk with one another in those terms and then be willing to hear what he loves about how he wants to be treated. A girlfriend of mine once asked a really interesting question. How do you want to be loved? As a question to be thinking about when you're entering into a relationship. How do you want to be loved? Because I don't think we talk about that ahead of time. You know, there's always that first flush of romance and connection and it's always exciting and romantic perhaps. And then we get together and then real life sets in and we start to lose that blush of that first newness, that the connection that we felt in the beginning. So I guess the deeper questions have to be asked. How do I want to be? How do I want to be loved? And then remember that you have those people-pleasing tendencies and you got to please yourself first, but you have to be willing to please the other one. All right,
yes,
Jason,
ma'am.
Does that fit in with what you pulled for her?
It's exactly what I just said in the very beginning. You know, when you come together again, because right now you're in the separation solitude period, the hermit, okay, going within yourself. And the last card that I picked is the lovers. So you guys are, as far as my cards are concerned, you're going to come together. But my cards are different. I have male, female, 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 and male, male. I picked the two male lovers, which means you need to pull yourself up by your big girl panties, and you need to lay it on the table as to what you want in life and what you want from him. It's exactly what Janet is saying. Exactly. If it was a male female, I'd say things are well balanced and la la la. But no, this card is saying you have to come to the table almost like a man, just the way that he would, so that you're not being neglected.
Right. And I basically told him, I said, this is what I want. I want to be with you. I want a relationship with you. I basically already told him. And I already told him like it is.
And okay, I don't think you're getting what let me just try and rephrase this, because I think you're missing what Janet and I are saying. Let me see if I can put this succinctly. I understand that you want a relationship with this person, but I want you to tell him how it is that you want to be treated and how it is you want to be in this relationship. Not taking care of all of his needs, not being secondary class citizen. I need you to stand up and put a list out there and say, look, I'm expecting you to do X, Y, and Z when we're interacting in this relationship. I need you to be more aggressive like a man. And tell, you know, but I mean everything down from taking the garbage out to what kind of sex you want to, what kind of economic ventures you're going to be working towards. I mean, the whole megilla. You're going to have to stand up for what you want. And that's what Janet is saying. You can't go around being a people pleaser with this, or you're going to get lost in the mix, and then you're going to have to repeat the goddamn cycle.
And because you're still fairly young, this is still emerging. You're still, you know, at 1984, so you're what, 32?
32.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're still really young in terms of, you know, the life cycle and the trajectory of where you're going. And so you're still in this discovery phase. Who am I? Where am I going? What do I want? That's a big question that we don't often ask. You know, we get married and we think, you know, we think we got clear on what we want, but perhaps we didn't. You know, what do you really want? You know, do you want someone that puts you up on a pedestal and loves you? You know, my husband's a Libra, and I swear to God, he's always got me on this pedestal. That, you know, sometimes he'll just bring out this bottle of lotion, and I'll look at him and go, what are you doing? And, you know, next thing I know, he's rubbing my feet with lotion. I mean, it's what Libras do if they love to love. And so you have to say to him, you know, I love it when you do this, when you bring me flowers, when you, you know, all those fun things. I love it when, you know, you and I get into mental matches, you know, where we're talking about a subject and we're taking different sides and all that kind of thing. So you need to get clear about what you want.
Okay.
What you want.
I have to try that. I have to try that. Yeah. Okay.
Right. Getting some clarity and then giving him voice also, asking him, how do you want to be loved? How do you want me to show up in this relationship for you? Right, because relationship is two.
Be afraid.
Okay.
The courage of the lion. The courage of Leo.
Yep.
All
right, Nicole.
Yeah.
Well, I'm
all
so glad we got to chat with you this evening. You're most welcome, and thank you so much for calling today.
No problem. Thank you. All right.
You're welcome. So thank you to all of our listeners. Jason, thank you so much. It's always a pleasure,
fun,
always exciting. Always a surprise as to what you're going to bring up and what you're going to say, and I really appreciate that about you.
And I adore you, and I will talk to you very soon. Thank you for the opportunity. I mean, I know we've gone over, but, you know, you and I were very bad children today. Very bad children. We didn't plug ourselves at all. You know that, right?
Oh, I know. I know that. But what else I just thought of is I want to let everybody know that next week is Thanksgiving here in the United States. So my show, which is normally on Thursday, is on Thanksgiving, so it will be a replay show,
and so
it will not be a live show. And Jason's show, which is on Wednesday, we decided, we would do a repeat for him as well, because Wednesday night is prep for Thanksgiving.
The night before,
you listen to radio shows. Yes.
No.
So, all right, Jason, give us your email address if people want to reach out and find you.
All right, well, actually, you can go to my webpage, which is now up and running, even though it's under construction, which is www.titillatingtarotwithjasonlevanis. That's right, titillating with two L's, tarot with Jason Levanis, oneword.com. And there is a page there. You can contact me with an email on that. And yourself, madam, for a human design and or astrological reading, they can go to
www.living-astrology.com. That's
excellent.
All for now, guys. Have a great evening. We'll see you in 2 weeks. Have a stellar
Bye.
Week. Bye. Thank you for joining me today on Living Astrology. Living Astrology is part of the Empower You Media Network. You can find out more by going to www.living-astrology.com.